to think that we get to sup on the words of life. Praise God. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians. We'll be beginning in the 12th chapter this evening. And I believe that the Word of God, as we allow it to be received in our life, it's always exciting. But I appreciate the gifts of the Spirit that we're going to begin studying. And Lord willing, we'll be in them for about the next three chapters. Don't know how long that'll be, but if the Lord tarry, we'll be in this. But the spiritual gifts, I'm just so thankful that I do attend a meeting. I've been part of a meeting that is about the full counsel of God. There are meetings today that deny that some, if not all, of these gifts are not applicable in the body, in a church anymore. And again, as Brother Copley so sweetly brings out in his study, it's like a body that is missing some of its members. It's not right. Well, it's like a church that's missing any of these gifts. It's just not right. God, through His Holy Spirit, has poured these wonderful gifts out. And they're to be received today. And they're to be enjoyed today. And by the grace of God, they're to be enjoyed and received and working in the body of Christ today. And again, I am thankful that by His grace, we are receiving that benefit in this meeting. And I'm telling you, again, a lot of times we can get complacent. You don't know anything else. And in a lot of ways, praise God, I don't know anything else in a lot of ways. I love to know the truth by His grace. But you'd be surprised how many have not experienced the true gifts and the blessing of these gifts that should be and have been called to be in our lives. Now, in beginning the study on these gifts, I want us to understand, and I think that this is so important to understanding really the proper application and really what the meaning of these gifts are, is that these gifts are in relation to the body of Christ. It's in relation to the church, is what he's speaking about here. It's talking about the edification or the spiritual enrichment or the spiritual growth for the church, for the meeting. Not necessarily for the individual, but obviously that's part of the whole, but it's for the meeting. And I think that that will help if there are some confusions. Obviously, I've spoke with different ones about the gift of tongues, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the differences in that. But I think as we get into this, by the grace of God, the Lord will bring this forth. And we also need to understand that this is an organism. The body of Christ is an organism. We heard Brother Hill say that many, many times. It's a living, it's a live organism. It's Christ's own body. Bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Praise God. We have become that. That's the enjoyment that Christ has done. Now, by the grace of God, let us submit more and more to that we're compacted and fitly joined together. Praise God. Even to that body that comes out of the body. Isn't that wonderful to think of? And that's a true oneness in that spiritual body of the bride of Christ. So again, these gifts are for the benefit of the body. Now beginning verse 1 of chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Meaning here that to these Corinthian saints, unfortunately, we've been reading, they've basically perverted everything. If you really think about it. Anything and everything they were getting into, they got self in the way, and it became perverted. You know, whether it was the relationship between men and women, whether it was obviously in the church, whether it was the communion, whether it was the feast, whatever it was, you can see that they were truly example, in a sense, of a church gone awry. because again, they weren't adhering to the Word of God. They weren't adhering to the love of God. They were getting, again, in their own minds, in their own concepts, in their own feelings and emotions, that they were trying to, in a sense, abuse the Word of God, but they just weren't allowing the Word of God to work effectually in their life, is really what was happening. They were trying to pick and choose Scriptures out of context in a lot of ways, and trying to fit that into their lifestyle. And that doesn't work with the Lord. It's the Word working effectually in our life. Praise God. And then as He grows in us, He becomes our lifestyle. He works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Again, you've heard me say it many times, and I hope to say it many times again. The way that I grew up, I think Mom was so godly in that. It wasn't a house full of do's and don'ts. Sure, there were rules and things. But the main rule was, or request, son, fall in love with Jesus Christ. Just fall in love with Him. Fall in love with His Word. He'll work everything else out. He'll bring the things into your life that need to be there. And it's amazing when those things come in, it's not that those things are taken out, they're just kind of pushed out. Don't have room for them anymore. I don't have room to be negative in a sense as much anymore. Just the optimism of the hope of Christ that's within me, it brings that goodness in my life. So this is this precious Spirit and these spiritual gifts that can be encouragement in your life as well as the church. But again, they needed proper understanding of the work of the Holy Ghost. Now verse 2. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Paul, again, he's not coddling them. He's bringing them right back to the facts that, you know what? You've had problems. You still have problems. And by the grace of God, you're going to follow me, I hope, as I follow Christ. And these are the things that he's putting in place here. And he says to him that you were Gentiles. You were carried away. You know, this again, that carrying away, the Word of God talks about strange fire. These gifts can become out of sorts very quickly. And there is an order within the church. There is, as Paul is bringing out, the more perfect way here, I believe, all throughout this wonderful 1 Corinthians message here. But carried away, truly these saints were very much carried away in promoting self. They were given these gifts, but they were given these gifts to promote themselves. I could see these guys coming in there and maybe one of them giving an eloquent Bible study or something like that. The gift of prophecy, teaching, you know, edifying one another in that. But it was, look at me. Look at how knowledgeable I am in the Word of God. Speaking truth in love. You see the difference there? And that's the Word of God that comes in. And that's what needs to be going on in our life, is that this Spirit, by the grace of God, wants to magnify in these gifts the body. By the grace of God, I hope that this Word is magnifying again our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it blesses His body. That's what we want out of a gift. We don't come up here and having maybe even the gift of healing. You can see a lot of that's gone awry. I think there's some wonderful people that have been given that gift in this world. And they have a wonderful gift of praying for people. But what happens is it starts to become me. Becoming me, the vessel, I'm the healer. That's not the case. It's a gift. Everything is a gift. It's a gift of God. Your breath that you breathe, it's a gift of God. And again, we're to pray and to covet these gifts, to want these things to be working in our lives. But it's not for my edification. By the grace of God, we edify one another in that gift because we're giving glory to God in it. So I believe it's so simple in that this again is for the church. It's for the assembly. And these poor Corinthian saints were so caught up into their own selfishness and how they looked in themselves. And that's why the Lord's going to bring out here about being content what part of the body you are. You know, we're going to read about, hey, you know, God's made me an elbow, but I wanted to be the nose. And wait a second, I'm an ear, but I'd rather be an eye. And it's like, you know, just take the place that God has you. That's the place you want to be. I promise. It's a place of contentment and joy and edification and growth and the perfecting of your life into the complete and full and the perfectness of the will of God coming into you. That's where it's going to be. You're not going to find it if He's placed you to be the ear. You're not going to find it in the shin bone. You know, it's going to be right where He has you. And godliness with contentment, brothers and sisters, is great gain. It's great gain. You know, we can pray for a lot of wants that we have. And I appreciate that we can think that we do have needs. And we do. We're human and all of that. But you know what? I pray more and more every day. Lord, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. If You lift me up in this world, Thy will be done. If I'm abased in this world and nobody's paying attention to me, I'm not being treated the way that I needed to be treated. How about Thy will be done? Think so? He endured a cross. Shame. Oh my. And you know what? He did that for me. And I think my reasonable service would be to take the place that He wants me to take. How about you? Praise God. Uh-oh. Okay, praise God. Come on now. All right. So you know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols. And that's true, they were dumb idols, but really what it's saying here about dumb is that they were voiceless, they were dead. Remember, they could sacrifice meats to those idols. It didn't mean a thing, did it? Because there's no other God but one. You know, you can think that there's a God, you can go to pray to it, but you know, it's still a tree, it's still a bench, whatever it is. There's only one God, so these are dumb idols, to the truest of the definition. And again, even as ye were led. And I think that's very important there about you were led. You're led by something today. You are. You are led. You are serving something today. And again, by God's infinite grace, I hope that we're coming into communion with Him this evening to listen to His words of life, to listen to the Word of God. Because this is our life. This is the enduring. This is the only thing that will ever be. This is what we're part of. I think about, praise God, I'm that new creation. I'm glad I don't understand more and more of this world. I don't understand it because more and more Christ is living in me. I'm not of this world. You're not of this world. Praise God when you don't think you fit in. Maybe you're on your way. You know, you might be starting to grow up. So praise the Lord. It's not that we don't try to fit in a sense. You know, God says to seek peace with all men as much as lies within you. And I pray that God gives me more peace all the time to seek peace with the men that are about me and women and those types of things. But praise the Lord, I am not of this place any longer. I wasn't when I gave my heart to the Lord. I became a new creation in Him. I'm now a citizen of heaven. Hallelujah. I'm seated with Him. So let's take that place this evening. All right. And know that we're there. Wherefore, verse 3, I give you to understand. He wants them to understand. See, this is again that prayer for that growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the very will of God that we would all men to be saved and come unto the full knowledge of the truth, understanding here. That no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Now we hear that and you think, well, no duh. You know, I mean, come on. But this is how far these people got away from God. This was the form of godliness that was then that denied the power thereof. And this accursed was basically negating the effectiveness of the cross. See, there's a lot of so-called Christian churches today that'll talk about God. And more the name Jesus is going out. It's not being spoken anymore. It's Lord this or God that. Heavenly this, it's the name of Jesus. And we need to be about that name. I'm telling you, praise God. That's the family that we belong to. That is the head of our body. It's Jesus. It's not, in a sense, any of these other things. It's Jesus. Praise the Lord. And this is what they were doing, was they were trying to, again, say that it wasn't the cross. And you think of the religions of today, the so-called Christian religions, and what they've done with Jesus. Oh, he was a great teacher. Oh, yes, a prophet. But see, what they've done is they've negated, they've taken away, in a sense, the effectiveness of the cross, that work on the cross. Because that was everything. He died. Praise God. That enemy, that Satan, he tried to keep him off that cross. Anything he could do. But he knew once it was finished. It was finished. It was done. So again, this is what, I don't care how euphoric the music is in a place. I don't care how eloquent the speaker is. I don't care, and again, how much fanfare may be there. There may be something that even looks like gifts out there. But if they're not preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified, they're preaching it accursed. And know that. And know that. All right, and then it goes in that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that wonderful? See, the Holy Ghost has to come and deal with your life, deal with your heart. I appreciate that even as a little boy. And it's still the same today. That Holy Ghost knocking on the door of my heart. Let Jesus in. Isn't that wonderful? I couldn't say He was Lord without my wonderful Holy Ghost that came to minister and to speak. And again, how much more so at the day of Pentecost, which God willing we'll talk about here in a moment, how God opened all of that for the Holy Ghost to come and fill my life and to open up to all and teach all the truth in me. All right, now verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now I want to break from this just a moment and turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Because now we're getting into speaking about these diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So Ephesians chapter 4, let's go to verse 7, and I think this will be a nice introduction about these gifts. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Praise the Lord. See, when he went, again, that day of Pentecost, that Spirit was poured out. Praise God. The two loaves, the Gentile and the Jew, it became one. There was a great oneness in this Spirit that God is encouraging, again, through Paul to bring out to these Corinthians and to us tonight, that we need to seek this oneness. And as you get into the very mystery of Christ, brothers and sisters, as we go into this and we study Ephesians and we study Colossians, which we have studied before, that unity of the Spirit, that oneness in Christ is a great requirement of the bride of Christ. It's a perfect oneness in Him. There is a unity by the grace of God. That's why there needs to be a longing in your life. Truly needs to be a longing to be around the people of like faith. That is a great barometer to where you are on the race course, if you're even on the race course in a sense. I think you've just kind of sat to the side. When you don't believe that you need the fellowship and you need the Word of God, and especially about them that are looking for that day. Oh, amen. The much the more as we see that day approaching. That day. Now we sing about that day, but you've heard me say this. What day are those that they're looking for that you're fellowshipping with? Really, truly, what day are they looking for? Well, most Christians say, well, the day I'm going to be with Jesus in a sense. Well, that's a wonderful day, don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about the day when I'm going to meet Him in the air. That's the much the more that I'm gathering with by the grace of God. And when you have that ability, you have that, okay, I'll say convenience, to go and to gather with those people. And to fellowship, as we read, there's a way that we can assemble ourselves together, but it's not in the right fellowship like we read last week in those Corinthians when they were getting together in the feast day, but when we fellowship in His name, in His order, and by the grace of God, in His might, then good things, profitable things happen in our life. Praise God. But it goes on in the 10th verse here of the 4th chapter of Ephesians. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Oh, praise God, that Holy Spirit. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We're getting into the complete and perfect will of God. Now again, this was Jesus ascending into heaven. So this dissension in a sense of the Spirit power, this empowerment, the church age beginning, that Christ in me could be the hope of glory. That's the oneness that He is after at this time. This is the oneness that He brought and by the grace of God is bringing in such gifts and magnificence and basically, the service that He can work in us through these wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, going back to verse 4 of the 12th chapter. Now, there are diversities. That means not all these gifts are the same, obviously, of gifts. And this word gifts comes from charisma, which means truly gifts of grace. But it is the same Spirit, and these are all gifts of grace. You didn't merit them. If you have a gift, and I believe each and every one of God's children has some type of gift, I'm not going to get weird on you and let's come up here and find the gift you got. God will reveal it to you. I really believe He will, okay? I believe that you'll, as you seek Him, He'll make it evident to you. Pray for Him by the grace of God, you know? I appreciate to have these gifts, and I know when the Lord really got a hold of my heart to pray for these things, God brought me gifts, and it's precious, and He wants to continue to bestow them. He might have them continuing in your life for a purpose. He might have it there just for one time. And we're going to read about that as well, too, here in the next couple verses. So again, they're different. There's diversities of these gifts, but it's the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations. That means there are differences in these gifts and ministries, but it's the same Lord. You might have a gift of a ministry with young people. You might have a gift of ministry in music. You might have a gift in ministry one-on-one with people. You may have a gift of ministry, in a sense, maybe as a pastor or something of that nature. But there are different ministries within these gifts. So that you can't just put God ever in a box. He's going to do it His way. He's going to use His vessel. So don't try to think it has to look this way, it has to walk this way, all of these different things. It's God's gift. And He's going to do with His gifts, and the Spirit's going to give Him as He sees fit. So again, in the sixth verse it goes on. And there are diversities or differences of operation. That means how they're brought out, when they're brought out, as far as these gifts. We're going to maybe even read, if we get there tonight, that sometimes, like even in the gift of healing, it was immediate. Paul could see that brother was believing. And he said, get up and walk. And it was immediate. But then there was times that Paul prayed for something and he left that brother still sick, but knowing that God still was the healer, that he was still coming in. I believe that God's encouraged my heart to, it's going to be healed no matter, but it could be the absolute perfect healing where he just takes him to heaven. That's the truth. See, that's the hope that we have. I can't lose in God. A lot of people just roll their eyes and say, oh, no, it's just that's the way it is. I know Him. I know what He can do. And I just appreciate Brother Paul when he said, you know, Lord, spare me sorrow upon sorrow and spare that brother. I love that fellowship. It's a wonderful thing. I was thinking about a sister over here that kind of came upon my heart as I was praying in that situation, and God specifically told me to pray in a way, and God can tell you specifically how to pray sometimes in that way. He tells you how to specifically pray, which is thy will be done, but even within thy will be done, He might be merciful and show you something specific in that, you know. But when you tell somebody that wants to go to heaven, well, the Lord told me to pray that you're going to raise you up. Boy, that can really be a downer to them, but I know the Lord can come in. All right. So praise God. It's wonderful, again, to be in that communion with Him, to know that He does all things well. All right. So, but again, it says, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. It's His same working. It's the same Lord. It's the same Spirit. And a lot of times, brothers and sisters, we do have to realize that, you know, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. There's spiritual wickedness that's working. And it was evident. You know, you think about Job. There were some very amazing things that happened that God allowed Satan to come in there and do. Okay? Just like those magicians that were standing there before Moses. They were able to take those staves and turn them into a snake. I don't know if they said, well, you could put a pressure point on a snake and make them, you know, stiffen up, and then you could, I don't know. You know what? I just know this, that there's no power but of God and from God, but you know what? He can give it to who He wants to. And He's going to allow Satan to even raise somebody up. Oh, yes. Yeah. That Antichrist is going to come up from the dead. We read about that. And going to have the power to do that. But see, it's God that has to give him that power. It's got to be part of God's plan. That's why we don't get excited about it. Sure, apart from God, Satan would mow me over in a moment. But I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? See, that's what I do know. And by the grace of God, that's what I want to live. That's the confidence in Christ that can work in our lives. All right. Going on. Verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, that means making clear of these gifts that are from the Spirit, is given to every man, to profit withal. So again, this is for the prophet to make known in our lives that the Holy Spirit is working, and it's given by God for the benefit of the church. All right, moving on, verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now we're starting into these gifts here. And you'll notice the very first gifts here, the one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And in a lot of ways, I know we'll get into verse 14, and it talks about the gift of prophecy was the one rather to covet a little bit to understand. Obviously, that's giving out and edifying the brothers and sisters in Christ, promoting spiritual growth through the ministry of the word of God. All right? But it's not a coincidence that he starts out with the very first gifts, knowledge and wisdom. It's very important. We need to know him. It says, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that I may know him. Huh? That I may know the depth, the height, the breadth, the length, all of the dimensions of the love of God. Knowing him. So important, so vital. And by knowing him and having that wisdom in his truth, to again, what he said, the will of God, that all men be saved and come to the knowledge or the full knowledge, as we were talking about. And I think the Lord's going to bring it out again this Sunday. I hope you don't get tired of it. But the exact knowledge, the actual mystery of God knowledge. That's what all that means, that word knowledge in the Greek. I wish we had words like that in English, huh? They're just so much more expansive, so precious how God, you can't limit it. And even those words don't even get it, obviously. But that's the knowledge he wants us to come into. So when we have that knowledge of him, when we have the wisdom, when we can rightfully divide the scriptures, and it's so imperative in our life, then these gifts, they're applied to our life correctly, appropriately. Then we can apply these gifts to the church correctly. We understand what's right. We understand that prophecy is paramount when it's going on in the church, and that the gift of tongues, unless it's an interpretation, and even with an interpretation, probably should not stop and prevent the prophecy from going forward. Ever gone into a church where it's just, oh my, it was the Bronco Stadium. You know, everything was going on at one time. It was chaotic. God's not a God of chaos. He's not. He's about his word. And there's an order in it. And it's a precious thing. And I'm thankful that we have these gifts that are magnifying him in this place. But they're in their appropriate order. Praise God. And the appropriate order is to appropriate them in knowledge and in wisdom. Yeah. So you don't just go at it. And again, there's so many that will just... I appreciated Brother Hill. I forgot where he got that from. But he said, you have all truth. You dry up. You have all Pentecost, in a sense. You blow up. But you get them both together and you grow up. And it's the truth. It really is. There's that balance. There's that moderation that we need to have. But again, we can't just go on all this emotion all the time, or obviously we'll just be a waylaid Christian in a lot of ways. We have to have that truth and love. We have to have that spirit and truth. That truth, by his grace, that knowledge of it and wisdom, it has to be there. It is imperative that we understand the word of God. So again, for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and then to the other, the word of knowledge. Again, it is by the same Spirit. And only by the word and submitting to him can these gifts be applied to us. It always comes through the word. Knowledge comes through the word. Wisdom comes through the word. Isn't that interesting how that's put out there? Notice that. The word of wisdom. It's not that you were born wise. Uh-uh. Wasn't just that you were born with all knowledge. I know a lot of people I've met. They are. Okay, but this isn't talking about natural stuff. Okay, you might have a gift of that, but these are supernatural gifts that are given to believers, praise God, that are given by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? All right. Okay, going on, verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, we're to live by faith, aren't we? And the only life we live in Galatians 2:20 is the faith of the Son of God. Isn't that wonderful? So we know as Christians we are to live by faith. But this is a wonderful empowerment of a gift of faith. Now, it might be for just one event. I was thinking of, you know, some of the wonderful events in the Word of God. One of the greatest ones is that widow that came to Elijah there and said to him, he said, how goes it, woman, basically? And she says, it is well. And she said, it is well, and her son was dead. She had a gift of faith at that time. She believed that God was going to come in. She knew that God would come in. And she had God's man there that had a gift that could come in and rescue that son. Isn't that wonderful? How about the man again that came to the Lord and said, Lord, I believe, I have faith to believe that you can heal my servant. And I have such faith that I don't want to bother you because you're an important man. You just say it and it's done. Now, I love that kind of faith. You know, I don't need fanfare in faith. All I want him to do is get it done. I just believe him. Okay, just believe him and it's done. I don't need all these people to come and see it, miraculous, whatever it is. Lord, let's just get it done. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. See, that's an intimate relationship that we have with him. And that is the great faith. Okay, so going on here, it says now, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, this healing is a precious thing. And again, I'm trying to move a little bit through this. So I'm going to give you some verses as opposed to maybe looking them up. But healing in James 5, verses 14 and 15, that's the one where it says about, you know, if ye that are sick, call for the elders of the church. Call for them to come and lay hands upon you. And let's pray, believing. And there's that call again for the elders to come. But then in Mark 6:13, it talks about the individual disciples going out there. And they individually prayed for these different ones. So again, however it's done, our expectation is from the Lord and it is in faith. It has to be in faith. I'd like you to turn with me for a moment to Romans chapter 12. That's Romans chapter 12. And let's read verse 6. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith. If you go back to the third verse, it talks about every man the measure of faith. Now, by His grace again, we need to believe. The Word works effectually in them that believe. We need to believe Him. I think that's something, again, that really should be something that is spoken from our heart over and over again. Lord, help our unbelief. I want to believe Him. I want to believe Him for healing. I want to believe Him for miracles. I want to believe Him for prophecy. I want to believe Him for teaching. I want to believe Him for faith. I want to believe Him for the discerning of spirits. I want to believe Him for all of the things He told me to believe Him for, which is everything. And I do not want to doubt God. I just don't. I believe You, Lord. I believe You. You have me in this situation that looks absolutely hopeless. But I believe You can turn the battle. I believe by the grace of God that You are not going to, but that You are working this together with everything else in a perfect pattern for my good, because I love You. Because by Your grace You called me according to Your purpose. That's faith. That's believing by the grace of God, and it's immediate. That's the beautiful thing about faith. It is immediate. I'm standing in promise. You are standing in promise. I'm already there. God has been encouraging my heart about this the last couple weeks. Son, all I've asked you to do is stand. You're there. You don't need to walk into it. You don't need to run over there in it. Just stand in it. The provision has been made. Get your eyes affixed on me. Miracles are all about. I'm not caught up into that. I'm just caught up into Him. And that truth, man, it provides such victory, doesn't it? Know that. Brothers and sisters, we need to know that and by His grace, seize that for our own lives. Praise the Lord. So again, to know that He is in that. Now, also about healing. It says that Jesus Christ did few miracles, basically no miracles there in Nazareth. And that was in Matthew 13:58. And why was that He didn't do any miracles there? It was because of their unbelief. Where there's no hope, where there's unbelief, it's not going to happen. It's not. I want to believe. I want it to happen. I want to see the victory. I praise God. I do believe Him. I believe Him that He's going to perfect that which concerns me. That's the believing. The believing is the very will of God. Not my wants, but thy will be done. So important. Praying for, you know, it says in the Word of God that He brings you or gives you the desires of your heart. Now, how are you going to take that? Are you going to say, well, I need a new car. And I need a lot of money. And I need a lot of friends. Or do you take that as He gives you the desires of your heart? That He brings you the everlasting. Brother David, search me, O Lord, if there be any wicked way in me. Oh man, lead me in the way everlasting. That's bringing in the gifts. That's bringing in the desires that I want in my heart are His, not mine. Now, absolutely, brothers and sisters, we're going to have different needs. And God wants us to express them to Him. He wants us to come and visit and fellowship. Say, Lord, help me. He said, come boldly. That means urgently. Get in there. It's your, you know, it's your place. Really, it is. That's my Father. Praise God. And I'm so thankful that that wonderful Son who I'm in love with is right there at His right hand. I can't get my eyes off that guy on the right hand. I just love Him. I love Him so. And He knows my heart. He knows my desires. We all get in there and we group up. And I'm telling you, it's absolute truth. It's not trying to be funny. That's my family. Praise God. And when I've got need, which is every moment of my life, that's why I said continually in prayer. Always in prayer. I'm there right now. I'm saying, Lord, the responsibility to give out Your Word. Oh my. Beyond me. And I want it to go out perfectly. I'm looking at, by His grace, the aristocracy of the world. This whole universe, praise God, that will ever be. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Not flattering you. It's just the magnificent grace of God. But hallelujah, take place. And again, thank Him for what He's calling us into. But that's the prayer that we need to have. Hallelujah. To know the treasure that He has given us. To whom much has been given, much is required. All right, going on. So again, we had mentioned too, sometimes that healing is immediate. Acts 14, 9 and 10, that's the one Paul said, rise up and walk. Sometimes it's delayed. That's over and over in the Word of God as well too. Joseph's life was a whole continuation of that. Before he was shown that God was going to lift him up in the way that God had told him. But there's many things throughout the Word of God, and I'm sure He'll show them to you. All right, verse 10 goes on to say, to another, the working of miracles. Now, the wonderful thing about miracle is it's a powerful thing that confirms the Word of God. And turn over to Acts chapter 8. And we'll read about a sweet brother there. That's Acts chapter 8. And go over to verse 6. And verse 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. And here's why. Okay? Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And here's the miracles that he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. So he's casting out devils. Many were taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. So we see that these miracles, a miracle can be a healing. Can be. Miracle can be, obviously the casting out of a devil. Because what it's doing there is it's confirming the Word of God. That's why they were taking heed to these things. Now, again, we had Jesus who stopped doing those miracles in old Nazareth, didn't he? And why? Because they weren't believing in Him. All they wanted to see was the fanfare. They didn't want to feast of the bread on Him. Okay, there's a difference. And God knows the heart and He'll use that. That's why He's not just flippant with His miracles. He does it to those that are really going to be effectually looking to Him. It's a precious thing. So praise God for that. That wonderful mercy that the Lord has. Now going on to another, prophecy. Now prophecy, I think, is defined very quickly and very easily and very simply in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. So turn over to chapter 14, verse 3. Here is your prophecy. But he that prophesies speaketh unto them to edification and exhortation and comfort. All of that is, brothers and sisters, that edification is for spiritual growth, spiritual edification, to grow up into the Lord. We know what does that. It's speaking truth in love. That is prophesying. Prophesying is ministering the Word of God. Prophesying is preaching and teaching the Word of God. Period. It's not the guy who's got the sign and the many signs as you drive through the Midwest. That's got the prophecy for the day. That's not it. Now, if he's giving you out the Word of God, then maybe it is. But for the most part, I don't think that's what's happening there. It's the Word of God. It's speaking it. It's bringing it forth by the grace of God. And it's the Spirit in enabling that. It's what we're doing this evening. God is bringing forth prophecy to us. Isn't that wonderful? And it is precious. And it is special. And we do need to take note of it because His prophecy is always, always the Word of God. It always has to be the Word of God. If it varies from the Word of God, contradicts the Word of God, preaches Christ accursed, it's not prophecy. It's not. It's dead. All right? So that's our prophecy. Okay, to another, discerning of spirits. Now, there is a verse in 1 John 4:1 that it says the trying of spirits, you know, try the spirits. But I truly don't believe in my heart that's necessarily the gift of spirits because that's trying. I believe that this is truly a gift from the Lord that's an instinct that God gives you that you know. And I believe that God has given me that at certain times that I've needed it. And I've prayed for it to where I could discern that. Now, there's times when my wife will tell me I haven't discerned anything. And but I need to be encouraged to understand when God gives me that ability to discern that matter, or especially to discern that spirit, what's going on there, okay? Because it is an important thing. You know, we can, again, get caught up into that. This is the problem with the Corinthians, and this is why he's bringing these things out. They had these gifts. They're bestowed out there. But what happened was that they were going in their own self. They were going in their own mind. They were going in their own emotions about things. Well, you know, brother so-and-so, he's just all excited in the things of God. Well, just because he was excited in the things of God didn't mean that he was spiritual. You know what? Let's turn over to Matthew. I was thinking of this. This would be a good thing just to refresh us. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And praise God, the only way you're ever going to enter in is that I will that all men be saved. Isn't that wonderful? Pretty simple. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, they never believed. They didn't. It talks about it earlier in there. They were the false prophets. They were the ones that were just, again, bringing in these things that weren't true. A lot of fanfare. A lot of spiritualism. But was it the true spiritual works of our wonderful God and His Son and His Holy Spirit? Or was it the spiritual wickedness in high places? See, this isn't always going to discern that. What I see isn't always going to discern that. But I'm telling you, pray. And then obviously, it's in the Word. Search these things to see that they're so. Comparing spiritual with spiritual, the Word of God says. We read that back in, I think it was the third chapter. To compare those things. Understanding. Again, it goes back to wisdom and knowledge, doesn't it? Every single time. We don't need to be ignorant of His devices. We don't. By the grace of God, we can know. And we need to know our wonderful Lord and His power to bring us through. Now, and I'll just kind of, I think, Lord willing, we'll finish up with this 11th verse here. But actually, we need to finish up with the 10th verse first. You thought I was just going to skip, oh, but he didn't want to talk about the tongues and the interpretation. Okay, all right, let's go to verse 11. No, I'm just kidding. All right, no, we're not going to do that. But Lord willing, we'll get into a little bit further discussion, but I think I'll take a little bit of time with this right now. But it says, to another, different kinds of tongues. Now, and I'll finish this up, to another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, praise the Lord that that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and infilled. Isn't that wonderful? And those people spoke in the tongues of men and angels and different languages and all of these different things. And brothers and sisters, I think this is something that's so commonly misunderstood, but I think it's so simple. And Lord willing, we'll get into it a little bit more detail when we get to the 14th chapter of Jesus Tarry. But that infilling of the Holy Spirit is always, always evidenced by the speaking in tongues. Always. I don't want to, I tell you, it just makes me cringe. Well, I went to Brother so-and-so, and they told me that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but I just haven't received my prayer language yet. That's not in this word. It's not there. Okay? You're not going to find it. All the instances, all of those different times throughout the book of Acts speaks of that wonderful evidence of the speaking of tongues, of the infilling in the Holy Spirit, and the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, this, though, the gift of tongues, what it's talking about here, is a different and separate category. All right? And the reason it's different and separate is because the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is for the individual. It's an individual experience. It's an individual thing. By the grace of God, in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, Brother Paul say it's for the edification, spiritual growth of me. And he said, and I'm glad I speak more than ye all, and forbid ye not to speak in tongues. It is for today. It's a precious thing. It's a wonderful barometer, I think, in a lot of ways, of my spiritualness and the fullness of God and His glory in my life. A lot of brothers and sisters don't like to hear me say that. Read about the filling of the Word and a filling of that Spirit in the Word throughout those brothers and sisters in the Word. That fruit was produced in those that were full of the Holy Ghost. It's a fact. Because it's the Word of God. All right? It has to do with submitting. Continuing to submit. Not just for one day, one moment up at camp, but praise God, how about the rest of my life? Huh? How about in your home, at your work, in your car? Pull over. But, you know, all those things that God encourage in our heart. But this gift of tongues, again, is as all these gifts are, it's for the church. It's for the edification of the body of the church. And it's precious here because the this gift of tongues does not occur without an interpreter. It has to have the interpretation with it. That's why in chapter 14, Brother Paul will say, if you don't have an interpreter for the interpretation, then don't speak in tongues. Stop. Because it won't be the gift of tongues. It has to have the interpretation. So it's a whole separate thing than being filled with the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues. I had a little note here. The gift of tongues always edifies the church. The gift of tongues always has an interpreter present. Huh? Praise God. So if somebody was just speaking in tongues and we didn't have an interpretation, that wasn't the gift of tongues. You see? Because it didn't have the interpretation with it. It didn't have the edification that went forth to edify. It wasn't for that time. But praise God, we trust Him. That when we do have a tongues message, in a sense we call that, that there is the interpretation that will be here because of God's faithfulness in this place. And that is the gift of tongues. All right? So hopefully that sheds a little bit of light on it until we, Lord willing, we'll get there in the 14th verse. All right, going on. Verse 11, and we'll close with this evening. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. All right? The gift that He gives you is the gift that you got. All right? I don't want to go coveting somebody else's gift. I want to covet gifts. Praise God. I want to pray for them in a sense. But be content with the gifts that He's given you and how He brings those gifts out. A lot of people think, well, I've got the gift of prophecy. I should be preaching. Well, here you go. Come on. I truly tell you, you really need your head examined. More importantly, your heart examined, if that's a desire in a lot of ways. But that's a whole different story. But truly, you may have that. Really. And I pray you do. But it might be not where you're thinking it is. Its manifestation for your life might just be with the few people that you meet throughout your lifetime. How about the 4- and 5-year-old class that you're bringing the Word of God to? Is that any more important, oh my, than maybe the brother that comes up here and teaches Sunday morning or Sunday night? It's not. Every member is part of that body. Every gift is a blessing to that body. And it's crucial. We're going to read about these different ones. And, everybody, the whole body desired to be an eye. I love being a coach. And I'll just kind of tell you this. A lot of times when you start coaching the kids, at 5- and 6- and 7-year-olds in basketball, everybody wants to be the point guard. How about center? Oh, I want to dribble the ball down the court, coach. And they can't dribble. And it's like, God made you real tall. We got to work on the walking and chewing gum at the same time. We'll throw you in the middle and get you the ball up at the top. No, I want to dribble the ball, coach. So, see, I kind of think, and it was kind of funny how the Lord brought that to me. See, son, in a small way, this is kind of what I have to deal with all the time. Getting you guys to take the place that I have for you, huh? And it's a perfect place. It is. Praise God. And it's true. Y'all can't be the quarterback, in a sense. But the quarterback's no important. A quarterback can't be anything without a great line. And a running back can score all the touchdowns, but it doesn't have a line. And, you try to tell the kids that in Little League, and nobody wants to play on the line. The kid that runs the, 40-yard dash in 4 minutes, coach, I've got speed. It's like, no, you got to get the piano off your back before we can get you across the goal line. But it's those types of things. And we need to, again, take heed to the place that He has for us. And don't deny these gifts. Really, pray for them. Don't be afraid of it. Let the Spirit, praise God, anoint you. But it's not to magnify you. Praise God, it's to magnify Him and to edify, spiritual growth, enrichment, the body, the wonderful body of Christ. Brotherly love, those are the ones that win Him. Philadelphia, see how it all comes together? Truly, it's a perfect pattern. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank You again for this just fellowship with You. We again thank You for Your teaching. And as we're reading tonight, we thank You for Your prophecy, Lord God. Help us to, again, just know how rich we are. Oh, how blessed we are, dear God. Help us to, again, take this stand in this life. Help us to really run and run with boldness, praise God, to win You. Jesus, You're calling to us. And thank You, Lord, that there is a hope and that we are looking. And by Your grace, just loving that day that You're going to appear. And praise God, the day that I'm looking. And as I was sharing with that sweet sister today, we're not looking in a sense. If You take us by the grave, that's one thing. And praise God if You did. But no, I'm not looking to die. I'm looking to live. I'm looking to be seeing You face to face and meeting You in the air. I thank You that I've had such wonderful brothers and sisters that went before me to show me to live that life. Praise God. That's looking to love and to see Your appearing. And Lord, may it be quickly. Thank You, Jesus. Encourage our heart. Get us in tune with loving You more and loving to be with You. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.